broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 16th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always, to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. Also, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. You know we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net is our nationally syndicated radio network and more, as we broadcast to the whole world telling the tale of liberty like nobody's business. As you know, I took a little break yesterday. I've been sick, man. I had to go to the doctor and get some antibiotics and recover, but I'm doing better, as you can tell. Thanks so much for your patience, but let's see, what would it have been? Monday's broadcast was a rock and roll show, to say the least. We had on Juliet M. Engel. She's a medical doctor, and she wrote a book called Sparky, Surviving Sex Magic. JulietEngel.com, her website. Juliet was born into a family of intelligence operatives, and she was initiated into the CIA's newly established, at the time, Monarch program in 1955 at the age of six, surviving sex magic and getting out of the occult and the abusive MK Ultra mind control programs. She went and ran the Angel Coalition in Moscow, Russia, helping people escape sexual abuse and sex trafficking. It was an underground railroad that rescued and repatriated children that were abused worldwide. And she tells her story. She ran the Help Folks Get Out of the Sex Trafficking for 10 years. Now she's speaking out to call a halt to the abuse of children. Amen to that. Hour two, we had our guest on, Dr. Scott Bradley, his lifelong goal and collegiate series to preserve the nation, all available at freedomsrisingsun.com, not to mention his weekly webinars and well over 1,000 videos posted there and more. freedomsrisingsun.com. We talked about two Nevada counties go constitutional, an incredible article written by Alex Newman, now posted on LibertyRoundtable.com, but it's also on EpicTimes.com. Incredible article about the work from the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. I'm heavily involved in that work. I had a quote in the article. Richard Mack was quoted heavily in the article. A lot of good work coming to light. We've been working on this for literally over a decade, ladies and gentlemen, and you're starting to see it bear fruit. We'll keep an eye on that ball just for you. But again, we make the big news. The mainstream press don't dare touch it, but they're losing as they lose credibility in the Epic Times and other places gain credibility day by day. It's obvious to see the new media is indeed taking center stage, to say the least. We also talked about a man that got swallowed by a whale. He's doing much better now. His name is Michael Packer. And he was diving for lobsters when he got gulped down by the whale, but he got puked back up and he lived to tell about it. Wow, makes you think of Jonah, huh? Well, this guy didn't live 3 days in the whale like Jonah. This guy just got kind of half-swallowed and then choked back out and survived it. But anyway, they say he's doing better. What an experience to tell about to your grandchildren, huh? Holy moly. David Archuleta comes out a member of the gay community. What a sad tale to tell, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of mixed up people in this world. I'll tell you that right now, and our prayers are with them. And that's a recap of the broadcast that took place on Monday. Yesterday we had a great rebroadcast of a show, though, so check that out when you get the time. Without further ado, let's have our co-host slash guest jump into the mix. His name is James Edwards. Race, politics, and hypocrisy in the 21st century on highlight. Yeah, thepoliticalcesspool.org, his award-winning website and weekly broadcast every Saturday night, syndicated by Liberty News Radio. James, welcome back, sir.
Sam, always great to be with you on these monthly appearances on Liberty Roundtable. And I just got to say a quick congratulations to the work that you and your organization, along with Sheriff Mack, are doing and the great write-up in the Epoch Times. I don't know if I should admit this or not, but I actually first became acquainted with that particular newspaper a few months ago when it was inadvertently delivered to my mailbox. Now, how would that happen? Because my next-door neighbor subscribes to it, and I had no idea. I mean, what a small world, right? I mean, so here we are, and I knew this guy was conservative, but, you know, I didn't know he was an Epoch Times-reading type of conservative, you know, the real deal, rock-ribbed. And I looked at this, newspaper, and I said, man, this is my kind of stuff. What is this publication? And then I read further into it, and of course handed it back to my neighbor. But I thought that was cool that somebody on my actual street was also reading it. And then here, sure enough, just a few months later, here's my good friend Sam Bushman being quoted in it. They are doing good work, and so are you.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Good people are standing together and taking on the mainstream press like never before. That's something to really sink your teeth into, because at first, you know, when I first got into broadcasting, people kind of mocked, and it's like, oh, you own a little teeny radio station on the AM dial, so what? And then over time, it's like, oh, you got quoted here. You're still a whack, and you're still crazy. And then every single media organization on the planet decided to take us on. Now, that's an overstatement a little bit, but not by far, because it's the biggest news organizations. Literally attacked me as a racist and a bigot and a homophobe and everything else under the sun, and a right-wing extremist and a domestic terrorist. We'll get into that as the broadcast unfolds, and on and on and on and on. But you know what? At the end of the day, people are seeing the truth. They lied. I told the truth. Now we're celebrating our 25th year of Liberty Roundtable Live and broadcasting, and I'm just telling you that we're gaining the upper hand as the new media takes center stage. As people realize he who owns the media makes the rules, they're realizing we better pay attention to the media that's telling us the truth. And with that, James, let's start out talking about the Southern Baptists. James Edwards was a Southern Baptist. He got kicked out of the Southern Baptist organization. In fact, he got his whole church kicked out of the Southern Baptist organization. But now they wrestle for control and leadership of the gargantuan organization. Moderate Pastor Ed Litton narrowly beats, quote, conservative to head the Southern Baptists. A couple more details, then we'll turn it over to James. Ed Litton, who's a moderate pastor from Alabama, won, and they say it will reshape the future of the country's largest Protestant denomination. I don't know about that. We'll see. Effectively, it was a three-way standoff for the leadership of the nation's largest Protestant denomination. Southern Baptists rejected whatever this guy's name is, Muller J.R. Jr., whatever, who received 26% of, listen to this, 14,000 votes. Ultra-conservative pastor from Georgia lost, Mike Stone, against Litton. Litton mainly stayed out of the culture wars. Well, then I don't know how he can be effective, but that's another discussion we'll talk about in a second. When officials announced the result from the stage, I guess it was only 556 votes that separated Litton from Stone. They say that's 4 percentage points. You kind of wonder if there was vote fraud going on there, but I digress. The floor erupted in a mixture of cheers and boos, and at a news conference after his victory, the soft-spoken Mr. Litton emphasized the need for healing. We are a family, Mr. Litton said. At times, it seems like we're incredibly dysfunctional, but we love each other. Going forward, he said, my goal is to build bridges and not walls. Some had warned that the stakes for the nomination, which often serves as a bellwether for white American evangelicalism, has never been higher. And a newly empowered ultra-conservative faction is pushing back against the national leadership because they're not taking on the difficult issues. Now, if there's an expert in this who's been watching it, keeping an eye on the ball, it is James Edwards. Your thoughts, my friend?
Well, Sam, I didn't know you were going to ask me about this today, but if you want to just carve out the rest of the show, we can fill it. I watched this, actually. I watched this as much as I could stomach, being a erstwhile Southern Baptist, and having great, great, great memories of growing up in a rural Southern Baptist congregation. I mean, most of the Southern Baptist churches, it is a bottom-up organization. The church is sovereign. Basically, what happens at the convention, my pastor always used to just call it window dressing, because it is a bottom-up type church. So the local church, you're in the average Southern Baptist church, it runs between 100 and 150 members. And that's your headquarters. And what happens at the denominational level is more recommendations. But what's going on at the denominational level is certainly not good. I did watch this yesterday, and I watched it in its entirety. And, yes, of course, so how the media is framing this is that Mike Stone, a pastor out of Georgia, was this ultra-conservative, right-wing, divisive candidate. But what he really was a nominally conservative, and to be sure, the best of the four that were nominated to be president of what is the world's largest Protestant denomination. So it is important if you're a Christian to know what goes on in the Southern Baptist Convention. It is probably the most conservative denomination outside of Orthodoxy. And then, of course, even if you are a non-Christian, but just appreciate what Christianity has done to inform our culture, it's important to know what's going on with these large conservative denominations. So with that stage being said, I'll tell you exactly what happened yesterday and what it means when we come back.
We're going to do it in seconds. James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Who gets reporting like Liberty Roundtable Live, huh? We have somebody almost everywhere. And we punch hard. This is Liberty Roundtable Live.
Can a nation conceived in liberty carry its head high if it denies protection to the youngest and most vulnerable of its citizens? Can a country founded on God-given rights continue to thrive without understanding that life is a precious gift from our Creator? As a physician, I have looked into the eyes of one-pound babies. I have cradled their small bodies in the palm of one hand. I defy those who are careless, who would disregard life and look at these tiny little miracles and say, we're not going to protect that.
But I believe there will come a time when we are all judged on whether or not we took a stand in defense of all life from the moment of conception until our last natural breath. One thing I promise you, I will always take a stand for life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, James Edwards, ladies and gentlemen, thepoliticalcesspool.org, in the middle of telling us about the Southern Baptist reality check. Moderate pastor Ed Litton narrowly beats supposed conservative to head the Southern Baptist. This is a huge story, folks. We don't only follow the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. We try to follow the Catholics and the Protestants. We try to follow all of these big organizations because they really can make or break the reality of our side of the culture wars, believe it or not. So that's why we highlight this so in detail, because it's critical for those who believe in God, family, and country. James?
Well, it was bad news then for what happened yesterday from our perspective, to be sure. So just to cut to the chase, four candidates running for the presidency. In the first round of voting, the so-called ultra-conservative candidate won, and he won by a pretty decent margin, but he didn't get 50% plus one, so there was a runoff just between the top two finishers, and then the other two quasi-liberals coalesced behind, they call him a moderate. He is actually quite liberal in favor of critical race theory and a lot of other things that are going to be harmful, very much a watered-down liberal is what he is, and he was able to win by about 600 votes out of thousands upon thousands cast. I think it was the biggest collection of messengers, which is what the Southern Baptists call their delegates, in quite a long time. So this was probably one of the more important conventions in recent years, and they took great pains to go back and show their virtue signaling tendencies. They went back to the 1800s to strike resolutions that were passed by the Christians of that time that supported the Confederacy. They went back and struck several motions that were written by Christians in the 1840s that used the word Negro, quote unquote, in the language, which is of course how people were referred to back then, and just a lot of other things. Similarly, good measures were voted down by a similar small margin. 52% to 48% was how it shook out. So I guess there's a slimmer of modicum of hope in that the conservative candidate pulled half the convention, basically 52 to 48, but it wasn't enough. And I think their numbers are probably only going to further dwindle now. And so what you've got today, the church today with its compromising and facilitation of feminism and illegal immigration, demands that the saving grace of Christ comes attached at the hip with this sick suicide cult of feminized leaders like the one Ed Litton being now offered up, J.D. Greer before him, Steve Gaines before him, if you follow Southern Baptist Convention politics. And you have to ask yourself if this even qualifies gospel, because any sane person is going to have to reject this suicidal package offered to them by the modern church. And that's why the Southern Baptist Convention is dying, because they alienate men who are the natural leaders of family. This is a ridiculous practice of religion to have basically what I call MSNBC at prayer taking over what should be a Christ-centered message. And when you do that, when you have this ridiculous practice of religion, you're going to have the very best people of our society being alienated from Christianity. So in the end, I think we have to hope that there's some measure of grace at work today, because for the reasonable unbeliever, the disproportionately non-religious conservative who supports Donald Trump, they can't but look at the church and gag these days. And I had the perspective of being born into it and seeing how it's evolving. If I had not had the good fortune of being born into a Christian family and I inquired upon Christianity now and I looked at the church, I couldn't imagine myself wanting to be a part of that. And again, it's MSNBC at prayer. So we await a charismatic and forceful advocate of traditional Christianity who is going to try to reform the church. They had a chance at it. I think, again, their numbers will probably further dwindle now that they have been beaten because they're going to be demoralized. I think some of these churches will leave in protest, and you can't hardly fault them for that. The last thing that I would say is this, and this really sums it up, and it was written by a great Christian theologian, A.W. Tozer, in the early 1900s, and he said this: religion today is not transforming people. Rather, it is being transformed by the people. It is not raising the moral level of society. Rather, it is descending to society's own level and congratulating itself that it has scored a victory because society is smilingly accepting its surrender. And that was something you heard time and time again. I watched this for 8 consecutive hours yesterday, Sam, and the so-called leadership of the Southern Baptist Convention kept saying, the world is watching, the world is watching. And that is who they fear. They fear the world. They fear the media more than the living God. And they work to accommodate the Washington Post and the New York Times. They are so fearful that they would write something about them that would cause them a little consternation. And very weak, very disconcerting. But, you know, Jesus Christ lives on in us. And those of us who are believers will continue to believe and we will continue to work. But as far as the Southern Baptist Convention right now, no good news to report.
All right. Let me ask you one simple question relating to this. And it's a serious question. I don't mean to mock. I do mean to be serious about this question. So when you say moderate pastor Ed Litton to head Southern Baptist, the question comes up, has it become the irrelevant, feckless church?
Yes. I mean, it has been for a while. I mean, it's been trending that way for a while. This may have been the last best chance for people with traditional theology in the Southern Baptist Convention. And again, the Southern Baptist Convention is a major player in the body of Christ, but it is by no means the authority and all of that. But yes, they have totally moved away from the sufficiency of Scripture. They are saying, well, we can't condemn critical race theory because there's no chapter and verse in the Bible that tells us that it's wrong. But, you know, that certainly
didn't
stop them.
Hold on. I think there is. I think there's plenty of them. I think we're taught that we're all God's children, number one, and we're taught to turn to God Almighty for guidance and direction, and male and female created he them. I think it's very clear that race and gender are a critical part of the Bible, and I'm not here to condemn anybody by race, but I don't see anywhere where they say that white people are racist, systemically so, and will always be, and everybody else is a victim. That's the core of critical race theory. It's a lie. It's satanic, straight for the pit of hell. But I see every scripture teach love one another as, you know, Christ loves you or whatever. Love the Lord thy God and love thy neighbor. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that jettison this deceptive logic, right?
No, it absolutely does. And again, it was close. It'd be one thing if it was an 80-20 vote, but I mean, 52-48, you know, 600 votes. And again, I mean, who's counting these votes? And the guy who lost, the guy who was the conservative candidate, he won during the first round of balloting. So who knows? I'm not saying that there was a fraudulent vote counting. I mean, let's just take that as it is. But I'm just saying it was close enough to split it down nearly 50-50. So there are people pushing back about this, and they were pushing it back against it forcefully. But that's right. But then again, too, Sam, I mean, you have to take into account that there's no chapter and verse that specifically mentions the words critical race theory. Well, there's certainly no chapter and verse in it that says you have to condemn the Confederate flag. The Confederate flag was a Christian flag. It was modeled after the flag of St. Andrews of Scotland. St. Andrews was crucified on an X-shaped flag. That's where the Confederate flag gets its symbolism. And, you know, there's certainly no chapter and verse in the Bible that says you must pass a resolution condemning
the
Confederate flag merely says
we only have one king, and that is Jesus Christ. And he's giving us authority to be sovereign citizens and individuals who have government as its servant, appropriately so, the unique form of government tried by the founding fathers and proven successful over time. That is the Christian view of the Confederate flag, right?
Well, that's absolutely right. And of course, they were Christians, and there's no doubt that they were Christians and they were great men. And I understand that the world and society evolves, but the Word of God should not evolve, and the church should not interpret it based upon today's leanings, which are fickle and can change on a dime. But this is what you've seen out of the church, and this is all churches, and this is just human nature. I mean, again, what is the church except for a collection of people that come together under the threshold of a church house from a very poisoned and brainwashed community? I mean, people who walk through the threshold of a church don't all of a sudden become immune to the poisons being thrust upon them by the media and by society and by the schools and by the university. So, of course, it's infected the church, too, because, again, the church doesn't inoculate you from this. You bring it in with you when you enter. And so you have a weakened society, and they're taking that weak-mindedness and that poison into the church as well. But for years now, you have seen the church try to cater to the world and trim its sails to be more accommodating to the world, thinking that somehow they're going to be able to make a better witness or bring in more Christians. But basically what they're really doing is they just don't want to have to stand and be attacked like we have always been attacked. You get attacked for standing for truth or for taking a dissident point of view, you know, if it's a righteous point of view. And most men just don't want to walk through that fire, and that includes Christian. I can't call them leaders in good conscience, but the people who are the heads of these religious organizations.
Well, feckless leaders, seriously, are of great concern. So since it was split down the middle so close, do you expect a division between the, you know, Southern Baptist on this fault line, or do you think that they'll just go along to get along and it'll kind of be a flash in the pan? What do you think is going to happen as we wrap this segment up?
There are supposedly 50,000 Southern Baptist churches, 14 million members. They were saying that all of the African-American churches were going to leave if the conservative got left. They were threatening to leave. They were going to leave. Typically, though, when conservatives lose, they do try to go along to get along. They need to play a little more hardball this time. I don't know if that means leaving or redoubling their efforts next year. We'll see.
We shall keep an eye on the ball for you, ladies and gentlemen. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Israel's military said it carried out airstrikes in the Gaza Strip early Wednesday after incendiary balloons were launched from the Palestinian territory. The two peoples had agreed to a ceasefire that ended 11 days of fighting between Israel and Hamas. A federal judge lifted the Biden administration's temporary ban on new oil and gas leases on public lands and offshore waters. In a victory for 13 states that filed the legal challenge in Louisiana, U.S. District Judge Terry Doty granted a preliminary injunction Tuesday, blocking President Biden's January 27th executive order while the litigation continues. Arizona Governor Doug Ducey signed an executive order on Tuesday mandating that public colleges and universities cannot require students to receive the COVID-19 vaccine or require students to submit proof that they received the vaccine to attend in-person classes. USA Radio News.
UFOs are back in the news, and even the military can't explain these strange UFOs intercepting our ships and planes. Are they a sign of something real, dangerous, or even biblical? Now, Rob Schmidt takes a look at the biggest mystery of our time. Rob's special series, UFOs, Are They Really Here?, airs all this week on Newsmax. Tune in to Rob Schmidt tonight on Newsmax. Now on all major cable systems. It's already the fourth largest cable news channel. If your cable company doesn't carry Newsmax, call them. Tell them you want Newsmax or you can switch. Or get Newsmax for free on your smart TVs, Roku, Zumo, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, or more. And don't forget to download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone and start watching now. So find out the latest on UFOs with Rob Schmidt. And check out Newsmax tonight. It's real news for real people.
As the demand for more transparency from China about the origins of the COVID-19 virus grow louder, China continues to stonewall any investigation. Tim Burke from the Phoenix, USA Radio News Bureau has more.
The former CDC director is defending the theory that COVID-19 could have leaked from a Chinese lab. Robert Redfield telling Fox News the spread of the virus was not consistent with other deadly coronaviruses such as SARS and MERS.
There's an alternative hypothesis that it went from a bat virus, got into a laboratory where in the laboratory it was taught, educated, it evolved so that it became a virus that could efficiently transmit human to human. My professional opinion as a virologist is that's the hypothesis that I support.
Texas and California officials are pushing homes and businesses to conserve electricity for a second day in order to hold off blackouts as a suppressing heat wave bakes the western United States Wednesday. USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Well, welcome back to the show. I think Sam is getting back into his nest there. I heard a door shutting, so we'll just take over right now and remind everybody the value of this particular program. I always love it when I'm a guest on another show. It comes so naturally to me to support and advocate for my friends and my brothers. It's a lot easier to ask you to support the people that I love rather than asking one to support oneself or asking you to support me. But LibertyRoundtable.com, ladies and gentlemen, this man's been doing it for over 25 years. Sam Bushman doing it at a high level, always without retreat, surrender, or apology. And he is a dear brother, and we love him. And what he does, 6 days a week, can you imagine? And there has to be media outlets that push back against, well, to call them legacy media would be too kind, but the controlled press, the lying press, the establishment press, the regime's media, whatever you want to call it. Thank God for men like Sam Bushman and networks like Liberty News Radio. Are you back, Sam?
Yeah, the new media is indeed taking center stage, ladies and gentlemen. He who owns the media makes the rules. There's no doubt about it. Check this out. Kevin Hart, comedian, doesn't care about council culture. The truth always wins. He's sick of it, James.
You know, I was actually reading, as if you're reading my mind, I didn't know what we're going to talk about, but you're handing me things right in my wheelhouse. So there was Charles Barkley. I guess they're both black comedians in their own rights, but Charles Barkley, obviously also a very famous Hall of Fame NBA player, who's saying he's going to leave TNT. He's been there for over 20 years, I believe, now as a commentator on their Emmy-winning sports show inside the NBA, saying that Turner Sports is trying to put the muzzle on him. And Charles Barkley was pushing back on cancel culture, saying you can't have any fun, you can't have any lighthearted jokes. He had long had this long-running bit about talking about how ugly the women in San Antonio are. And when they would go down to San Antonio, everybody in the crowd would have a great time with him, you know, jeering at him and wearing T-shirts, you know, mocking. It was just a good tongue-in-cheek type of thing because Barkley has this rivalry with San Antonio from his playing days. But now Turner said, you know, no, that's offensive, that's misogynistic, you can't do that, you can't say that anymore, and, you know, putting the muzzle on this guy who's known for his outlandish takes and big personality. So, you know, hey, listen, you know, we had Jesse Lee Peterson on the show last week. It's really nice when the occasion presents it where you can have this cross-community type of support pushing back on issues of common interest.
Amen to that. So you got Kevin Hart doesn't care about cancel culture. The truth always wins. You got Charles Barkley blasts TNT bosses over cancel culture. Now you have Jesse Lee Peterson speaking out. You've got, I mean, it's starting at Candace Owens. You're starting to see more C.L. Bryant. You're starting to see more and more and more Americans that happen to be black jettison. I'm gonna go bold. You ready, James? Jettisoning the idea that if you're black, you must be on the political slave plantation. They're simply saying no. And they're big enough, and they're you know, famous enough, and they're popular enough or whatever else, to where this, along with other people, Kanye West, they're literally starting to blow up the dishonest narrative that has kept these slaves on the plantation from a thought process point of view, thought process point of view, I should say. For way too long, and they're sick of it. They're saying, look, I can think and believe and feel what I want to, and how dare you say that I can't because I'm black. That's really what we're talking about, right?
There was a well, that's right, and it's good to see it. I mean, it's encouraging. I read that article just a few minutes before we went on the air today about Barkley, which is, of course, quite similar, and he mentioned it by name, cancel culture, and he's talking about how ridiculous it is and what a shame it is. But there was also, I was reading yesterday about a student. I believe she was admitted to one of the Ivy League schools. I want to say Yale, but I could be wrong about that. But the fact remains, it was an Ivy League school, and this young lady came from North Korea. And she was saying that the amount of thought suppression and the amount of the repression of free thinking at the Ivy League schools, the Ivy League school that she attends, is worse than what she was experiencing in North Korea. So, I mean, people get it. People see it, and that's not a way America wants to go. There is going to be a reckoning in America one day when people get a little more uncomfortable. But until then, you like to see these fault lines. You like to see these fissures.
Yeah, the headline says, North Korean defector slams what they call woke schools as she speaks out and kind of really laments what the heck is going on in America.
What school was right? It, Sam? Does it say?
I'm looking at that right now. I'll find out. But in the meantime, I mean, North Korean defector slams woke schools. That is really telling.
Well, I mean, you know, so North Korea, of course, and you know, I don't know really what's going on over there. A lot of times we know that our media lies about everything. So when they say something negative, you tend to believe the opposite. But North Korea is such a reclusive state, you don't really know what's going on there. But it would be, I guess, in some ways harder to imagine. There's a difference between hard totalitarianism, which is, I think, what you probably have going on in North Korea, and the soft totalitarianism. Well, yeah, it's not illegal here to speak out against the state or to speak out against political correctness. You don't necessarily go to jail. You just lose your job. You lose your social credit. You lose your standing in the community. You just lose everything that makes you a free person anyway. So that's really the only difference between a state like this and a state like that. But on the university level, that soft totalitarianism certainly does harden to a great degree. And, you know, that is telling. When somebody from a state like North Korea can come over and say it's worse here than it is there.
I don't know how you say her name, but it's Yami Park is her name. And she attended Columbia University, James.
Columbia. Okay, there you go. Columbia, not Yale. Different name, same setup.
But here's the interesting thing. So Miss Park, the North Korean defector, said that she viewed the United States as a country of free thought and free speech until she went to college here. Then she attended Columbia University and was immediately struck with the idea that, you know what? She called it anti-Western sentiment in the classroom.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
A North Korean woman, a young woman, is a bigger defender of Western civilization than the Southern Baptist Convention. So that's something. Yeah, I'm reading right here now, too. It looks like we're both looking it up now. North Korean woman, defector to the United States, said the growing prominence of cancel culture, that's what we're talking about with Kevin Hart and Charles Barkley, and the left's intent on dividing people are stark reminders of the regime she escaped. Well, and of course, that's the last full measure. I mean, that's where it's going, Sam. It's going to go to complete and total repression where you're jailed, which we already see in places like Europe, too. I mean, you don't have to go to North Korea to find stuff like that. Germany will do.
Yeah, it is shocking to see this. I mean, you've got this North Korean defector. You've got black people left and right. We're all saying the same things, James, and it gets worse. Because not only is this North Korean lady saying this, but here's the next headline. Are restaurant dress codes racist and dated? This is USA Today. Listen to this. They say many have been saying for years dress codes are implicitly racist. Think about this for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. And target people of color. Now, here's the interesting thing. It used to be no shoes, no shirt, no service. And then, you know, Kenny Chesney came out with no shoes, no shirt, no problem. But now we're saying, look, man, you roll in. So the story kind of is that this black guy tries to go into the restaurant and they tell him he can't because he doesn't meet the dress code. But he can sit outside with his buddies. So he does. He doesn't think much of it. He just goes, okay, whatever. And so he goes and sits outside with his buddies. But then he sees all kinds of white people roll in with different, you know, dress than him, but yet just kind of as casual or whatever else. And he kind of goes, well, wait a minute. Now he put out a video showing this and documenting this, and it's got well over 7 million views. It's blowing up everywhere. And the idea now is that, hey, dress codes are flat out inherently racist because, of course, white people came up with them, and it goes on and on. But I look at this, and I go, what are we talking about here, James?
I don't think we're talking. Well, I hear we're coming up on a break, and I think I've got a little hitch in my cord. There we go. I've got a comment on this, and I've got another story that deals with dress codes, and we may be talking about the same one, but it may be different, but there's parallels, and we'll get to it.
We'll do it all, ladies and gentlemen, as James gets cord problems resolved. We'll take a quick pause, come straight back, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. I'm Sam Buschman, LibertyRoundTable.com. He's James Edwards, thepoliticalcesspool.org, breaking it down just for you.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
They say restaurant dress codes are implicitly racist, systemically so. It's been that way for years. They're racist, they're dated, they're a problem, and they're used to simply, you know, put blacks at the back of the bus. That's the agenda they're pushing now. I believe it's nothing but a divide and conquer strategy, James.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, this still is getting a lot. There are still a lot more examples of this, at least a lot more examples. I should put it this way. A lot more examples like this that are being covered by the press. See, the press can take a very small minority opinion and make it look as though and present it as though everybody's in favor of it. If you're not in favor of it, there's something wrong with you. It's like the homosexual agenda. I mean, how many people are exactly homosexuals? I mean, single percentage. Yet the entire corporate America structure is in the tank for them, as if you have to have that single percentage amount of support from that community in order to be able to make it in business. And so I don't know how many black Americans would line up with Charles Barkley and Kevin Hart with regards to cancel culture, or how many are still pretending that systemic racism is behind everything and everyone and every encounter. There was another incident of so-called racism involving a dress code that interestingly came from another black NBA Hall of Famer that played during Charles Barkley's time, Dominique Wilkins of the Atlanta Hawks. He was going into a upscale restaurant in Atlanta just a couple of weeks ago. It's a recent story. And they didn't recognize him. I mean, of course, you know, these people are in their late 50s, early 60s now, so they don't look like they did in their playing days. So they didn't recognize him as Dominique Wilkins, or else I'm sure they would have let him in regardless. But they did say, sir, you know, we have a dress code, and I'm sorry, but you'll have to go and change before you can, you know, be allowed into the restaurant. And he instantly went and did the talk show circuit. I mean, it was being covered by CNN and MSNBC, and he was going on these shows saying, you know, I don't believe that they actually have a dress code. They only said they have a dress code because I'm black. And this woe is me. I mean, here you have this multimillionaire whose entire livelihood was funded off the ticket sales and merchandise purchases of predominantly white fans, crying racism. I mean, he has lived an unparalleled life as far as earthly status goes. And still, he's the victim of racism somehow, because this restaurant legitimately did have a dress code that he didn't meet. And I'm sure if he had gone and changed, they would have allowed him in. Do you think they weren't going to allow him in if he was actually wearing a suit and tie instead of, you know, flip-flops and board shorts? But there he was, you know, making the round. So, I mean, look, but we saw this with Starbucks back a few years ago. There were a couple of young black males in a Starbucks where, and I believe they were up to some shady business. They were loitering. They weren't buying anything. They were just there. And there is a policy in most stores. It's, you know, the stores and the facilities, the restrooms are reserved for paying customers. Well, no. The fact that rule exists only exists to discriminate against blacks. So these two young, and I believe they were petty criminals, if I'm not mistaken, they went and complained. And I believe this was up in Philadelphia. And that is what that one single incident in a single store where you had two, I mean, loitering is not allowed in most businesses that I know of, especially if you're giving off a sketchy or shady vibe and causing discomfort to other customers. So they were asked to leave or make a purchase. See, they could have just bought a coffee and it would have been no big deal, but they didn't do that either. And this is what gave rise to the whole Starbucks, where they shut down every Starbucks in the country, shut down for a day so they could have this day of healing whatever they call it, racial awareness or whatever. But incidents as innocuous as this, and I was talking about that with Jesse Lee Peterson. I mean, even showing identification at a polling booth, some blacks claim is slavery, or not just Jim Crow, but Jim Eagle. And Jesse Lee Peterson and I were talking about this last week. So, yeah, I mean, for every Charles Barkley and Kevin Hart, I'm afraid you've got the yang to the ying on the other end.
All right, well, let me kind of double down and say some things that, you know, I know they're not popular, but I think they're true. All right? Now, this Hawks legend, Dominique Wilkins, says he was the night service. That may be true. Atlanta restaurant apologizes. So the problem with that discussion is that he's claiming he was the night service because of his black status. And this is where I have the problem. And this is where critical race theory is, in my opinion, foisted upon us on the big lie. Was he denied because he was black or because of his dress? If he was white, would they have let him in with the same dress? The debate rages on, and certainly people have biases and people have viewpoints, but there's much more than dress. Sometimes it's behavior. Sometimes it's who you're with and how you all look. And I'll give you an example. Two white guys roll into a place. One guy's got like a kind of a missionary haircut is what I like to call it. Very short hair. Looks like a Christian missionary. The other guy's got long hair like a biker dude. You know, one guy's got his shirt open and a necklace hanging down, and another guy's just wearing a nice button-down shirt and some nice slacks. They're going to be treated differently regardless that they're both white or that they're both black. Okay, there are a lot of other factors. You know, you show tattoos, you this. Now, is it right to have biases? I say that it is. All right? People have thought processes, and they have warning bells in their hearts and in their minds from past experience, from observation, from intuition. I can go on and on and on about this, but the point that I'm making is this. Restaurants should have every right to not welcome people based even on their gut feeling, where they say, you know what, we don't feel right about you guys being here. You need to leave. Okay, it's private property. It's a restaurant. You can say it's a public establishment, and it is, but it's at the behest of the business owner. And what we seem to buy the lie right now in America is that government can decide all this for me. Okay, if I find somebody cruising into my air and they're drunk as a skunk, I might kick them out because I don't want any trouble that will arise from, you know what, alcohol-fueled individuals. It can be all kinds of reasons, but I'm not saying that I support racism. Okay, don't misunderstand me, ladies and gentlemen. I disagree with racism. I believe that we're all God's children and we should behave like it. However, I do respect private property, and I do respect the individual's decision. If somebody wants to be racist and they say, you know what, I don't like your dress here, you're you know, black and you're in here and I don't feel comfortable with it, I submit to you that I back business owners' rights to decide for themselves. And so I think the right of conscience trumps this race card they're using, James. And I don't support racism, but I do support people's ability to be racist or right to be racist or to use whatever bias internally they have in their own mind, in their own conscience, in their own heart to decide who they want in their restaurant or not. Now, I happen to know a little bit about this because I'm a blind person. And if they said, you know what, I don't like blind people in my restaurant. They always knock over their glass and they dump water all over and I don't want them in here. I support their right, and I'll go somewhere else. This is a very unique position that we need to learn to take, not because we back the wrongs of discrimination, if there are any, but because we prize the right of conscience above all that. James.
Yes, Sam, and you've got, I mean, look, there's no doubt about it. A private property should be able to refuse the right of service to anyone for any reason, whatever the reason. And they don't have to give a reason. It's private property. This is a totally different than a snack bar at a government or a federal building. And we know that they can disallow customers for whatever reason, because we've experienced it ourselves, have we not? I mean, trying to host events in the past, they would say, you know, you're just too much of a risk, you're too much of a liability, we'll get bad press, and you're this, you're that, and so they don't allow service. I've had that happen to me. On more than one occasion, because of who I am and because of the positions I take as a paleo conservative Christian talk radio host. But you have such a hypersensitive society now, and we know the amount of pandering that comes with any accusation of racism, real or imagined. It even goes to the billionaire Oprah Winfrey, who some years ago, the last few years, I mean, it is an ancient history. Now, Oprah, especially, I mean, talk about athletes who became millionaires based upon the buying power of mostly white fans. How about Oprah, who became a billionaire based off stay-at-home moms or women who are watching her show during the day, became a billionaire, and she was in Europe. I don't remember the country. Maybe it was Switzerland. Maybe it was somewhere like that. And she claimed that she was the victim of racism. Now, here's this billionaire black woman, the victim of racism, because she went into a high-end boutique, and the clerk didn't immediately offer her, she was looking at purses, she wanted to buy a purse, and because the store attendant didn't immediately offer her the most expensive purse, the clerk didn't recognize her as Oprah. She didn't know who she was. But because the clerk didn't immediately offer her the most expensive purse in the store, Oprah claimed that was racism, because she assumed that because Oprah was black, she couldn't afford the most expensive purse in the entire store. So this is where you go from the real to imagined stuff. And Oprah had this heartfelt, you know, hour-long special on how she was the victim of racism because of that incident. So that, ladies and dress and codes and all that, that's not racism.
Here's how it is, ladies and gentlemen. As Hall wrote in Friends of Voltaire, "I disapprove of what you say, but I will defend to the death your right to say it." All right? After all, isn't that the genius of America, ladies and gentlemen? Isn't that the pure genius of America? So the same thing goes true. When it's your right to say it. It's your right to do it, to believe it, to think it. I may not agree with you, but we have the right of conscience to think and believe as we do. And so, you know what? I don't know why this NBA star was kicked out if they didn't recognize him because he was old and they didn't know he was an NBA star. Otherwise, he would have got special star privilege. That's a whole nother debate of racism equivalent that you could say. What about the stars versus, you know, me and you and everybody else? Why does the black LeBron James get a roll in and get special privilege above Sam Bushman, the white guy? See, we're star-studded. In America, our founders believed we were all God's children, all of a middle class, and they jettisoned kings and class warfare and all these divisions. Why are we letting it happen today? We need to bring back the tradition of our founders and reject that one is above another. All right, we need to be kind and respect people's intellect. We need to have civility, no doubt, but that doesn't mean we have to cave on our conscience or our principles. If I don't want to, support abortions as a doctor, I shouldn't have to. If I want to kick somebody out because I don't believe that they're good for my restaurant, for whatever reason, I should have the right to do that. Now, maybe it's not right. Now, if somebody wants to bring a guide dog in, there's laws that say, hey, blind people can bring guide dogs into restaurants. Some restaurant owners don't like that. They're not comfortable with it. They should have every right to say no. And then the blind person, the person that has the guide dog, has the right to go somewhere else. Okay, but we've decided that the government is the great arbiter of our conscience. And this, ladies and gentlemen, I reject a gazillion percent. Hour one in the can, hour two, James Edwards with me. We'll continue on this racist theme. Why? Well, because your Biden administration, your whacked out, crazy, white supremacist Joe, He wants to double down and say that you and I are the greatest domestic threat in America today. His administration is saying it, and they're starting to ramp up the hate towards white Christians. That will be the theme as we continue next hour. Stay tuned, because you know what? Hard-hitting talk is always at your fingertips 6 days a week on the Sabbath. We rest. For Sam Bushman and James Edwards, his website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, mine, libertyroundtable.com, nationally syndicated by lovingliberty.net. God save the Republic of the United States of America.